Heifer International is a ministry that came into being in response to the world hunger issue. It's kind of their motto, not just a cup, but a cow. And that cow that is given is generally expecting one. And those who receive it are trained on how to care for it, pass on the first offspring to someone else, and to develop a way of using cow or chickens or whatever animal is given to produce a new life with food. They pointed out recently that 24 people die every minute from hunger-related problems. 24. I mean, that's a couple of hundred or so since we've been in here. Died around the world from hunger-related issues. Another ones that deal with hunger said every 3.6 seconds a person dies of starvation in our world. Every 3.6 seconds. Of the little time I've been up here, several have died because of inadequate food. Another estimated that 800 million people go to bed hungry every night. 800 million. It's kind of hard to get our minds around those kind of numbers because most of us don't have any problem finding food. Our problem is cutting back on the food, not pigging out on the food. To think that there are people that are dying right now while we worship around the world because of inadequate food supplies. So what are we to do? The real issue is who will give them something to eat? And that's our question for today. And it's a question that Jesus leads us to ask from our gospel reading for today. It comes from the 14th chapter of Matthew. And there's a large crowd that had gathered and it's time for them to eat. And Jesus said to the disciples, "You give them something to eat." Now let me just share the setting in which that takes place. Jesus had just heard that his cousin John the Baptist had died. And what happens when you have death that's of one close to you? You grieve. And part of you wants to just kind of go aside with those who care about you and not see the world at that point. Well, Jesus set out to a deserted place with his disciples as he walks through this valley. And when he gets to the other side of the lake, it wasn't deserted any longer. There's people that showed up. That's the setting in which our scripture comes from today. We pick up from verse 13 of Matthew 14. Now when Jesus heard this, talking about hearing about John the Baptist's death, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion for them and cured their sick. I think there's the first message from the text today. Jesus had compassion. And he has compassion for those in need. Isn't that just like Jesus? To see people in need. Notice, he's wanting to get away. He's wanting to get away. Somebody told me the other day that I can't plan to get away anymore. This week is the fifth time this summer that I was supposed to get away and someone died. And so somebody said, you can't plan to get away anymore. And I do have a funeral this afternoon when I was supposed to be leaving. But every time I kind of say, well, not again, I remember Jesus. In the midst of life, when needs came, He stopped and He put people first. He had compassion for those that were there. He didn't say, go away, this is my time. He had compassion on them. But that shouldn't surprise us, because isn't that the way He is? I mean, everywhere you see Him go, He has compassion. Whether it's walking into Jericho and hearing the cry of a blind man that He gives attention to, or whether it's going around the Sea of Galilee and He sees a leper and He gives attention to him and offers healing. He had compassion. I like the way Mark's gospel puts it. He had compassion for them, talking about this crowd, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep without a shepherd. What happens to sheep when there's not a shepherd? They're endangered. They wander. They run out of grass and don't know where the next grass is. They can't find the watering hole. They walk off a cliff. Because see, the shepherd is the one who guides them in all those ways. And sometimes that's who we are. We're like sheep wandering from one struggle to the next struggle because we're not trusting the shepherd to guide us. But Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And my own hear my voice and follow me. We don't have to be shepherdless sheep. We have a shepherd who loves us, who's there for us, who's there ready to forgive us and cleanse us and lead us in our lives. There's a song that captures that. It goes like this. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He always loves and cares for His own. That's our Jesus. He always cares. He always loves. He's always there to shepherd us. Well, that's one of the things I learned from this passage. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. Just like He took the time then, He's going to be there for us. Because it's His nature to have compassion. But that's not the end of the story by any means. We pick up with verse 15. When it was evening, the disciples came to Him and said, this is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. And Jesus said to them, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Wow. Get the picture. Later on, we'll see that this crowd is made up of 5,000 men. That doesn't count the women and children that's among that. So just the guesstimation, we're talking about probably over 15,000 people. There's no restaurants in the area. There's no Walmart grocery store. There's no fast food in the area. The closest village is several miles away. And they're saying, Jesus, you got to let them go. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. No, you feed them. In the New Century Version, it says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And I just kind of imagine that they were feeling overwhelmed at that point. How are we going to feed all this crowd, Jesus? What can we do? There's just 12 of us. And isn't that true for our lives too? The needs of the world can seem overwhelming to us. We can get caught up in all the statistics out there, and it's so overwhelming we just want to close our eyes and close our minds. Let me just share a few other statistics. Shared some of them about hunger. But annually, there are 584,000 people who die from malaria. And some of us thought that's over with. I mean, at the end of last decade, last century, and the first part of this century, there has been movements to buy nets to protect people from the mosquitoes that carry it, and thought it was doing away with it. 584,000 people die of malaria. 90% of those are in Africa. It's still one of the leading causes of death in Africa today. There are 1.2 billion people that do not have safe drinking water. We looked at some of that last week. And several hundred school children in our county, not talking about everywhere, that go home without adequate food supply. School children who, for free lunches or reduced lunches, have a meal during the week, but don't have anything on the weekend. And the holidays are even worse because they don't have anything. Talked about the food situation last week, along with the water situation, and one from this service came to me and said, are you aware of tigers feeding tigers? And I said, no. Well, we are now aware. It's a ministry where those students will receive food on the holidays. As they go home on that Friday for whatever the holiday, they'll be given enough food to carry them through. And of course, if you're going to carry the children through, you got to carry family through too. And you're going to be hearing more about that, because we're going to have a new partnership with them at Christmas time as they get ready to feed. The world's needs can be overwhelming if we don't bind together. Which might raise it this way. Can my little make a difference? Can my little make a difference? Notice what they said. We have nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish. They're looking at this little amount and think, what difference can it make with all these mouths to feed? Sometimes that's us, isn't it? We look at what we have coming in and the needs of our lives, and we wonder, is it going to happen? Do I have enough to care for my needs, much less touch other lives? Am I going to have enough to get by with the stack of bills and the little resources? How can I make a difference in others? Dr. J. Harry Haynes was a missionary who then became head of UMCR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And he wrote a book entitled, I'm Only One Person, What Can I Do? And he said he heard that time after time after time in his leadership of United Methodist Committee on Relief. As people hear the great needs of the world and they say, what can I do? You ever been there? I have. I remember my first church in this conference. We were starting to get involved in missions. And so we got the United Methodist Advanced Special Magazine. That magazine, when at that time, now you get it online, was about that thick. It had every mission project done in the name of the United Methodist Church around the world. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them. And we were flipping through there and said, wow, how can we make a difference? With the little that we have, It seems so insignificant. And here's the temptation. When we feel inadequate, we're tempted to do nothing. When we feel inadequate, we're tempted to just throw up our hands. What can I do? We try to close our minds and close our eyes and pretend it doesn't happen and go into our own little world, population me, as the Matthew West song said. You've heard the saying, no doubt, out of sight, out of mind. It is easy, isn't it, to forget all these world needs if we don't pay attention and just put them out of sight and out of our mind. And we often do that when we feel inadequate. I don't know about you, but I remember as a child, one of the ways my mom would tell me when there was something on the plate that I really didn't like and I was going to leave it on the plate, say, remember all those children in China who doesn't have anything? I never figured out how me eating that I didn't like was going to help the children in China. I never got that one across. But then I'm guilty of trying to lay some of the guilt trip on my girls when they didn't want to eat, you know. But here's the real issue. The issue is not cleaning our plate. The issue is changing our lifestyle. The issue for our American lifestyle is not cleaning our plate. It's changing our lifestyle. UMCOR update pointed out that there is enough food produced by the farmers of the world today to feed, listen to this, every person in the world with a diet of 3,500 calories a day. And I know some of you are on diets trying to deal with less than that, so some others could share that part. Enough to feed the world 3,500 calories a day. The problem is not that we don't produce enough. The problem is the distribution. Part of it is due to our consumption or overconsumption and the motivation to do what it takes to get it to some of the world's needs. The Interpreter's Bible said, it is fact, human troubles are too great for human strength. That's the issue, isn't it? We can't do it on our own. It is beyond us. So how are we to respond? Well, in John's account of this story, Andrew is the one who made a response. Look at it. John 6. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Isn't it interesting? Andrew, practically every time he's mentioned in Scripture, is identified as Simon Peter's brother. Said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. We don't know how he came in contact with this boy, how he found this boy, but he was wise enough to bring him to Jesus. Now, here's a lesson that I learned. Andrew was known as the disciple who brought people to Jesus. Did you know that every time that Andrew is mentioned in Scripture, outside the listing of the apostles, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. He's the one that brought his brother Peter to Jesus. John 1. He's the one that invited Peter to come meet Jesus in the first place. In John 12, he's the one that brings some Greeks to Jesus, so that they might get to know him and meet him. And here in the 6th chapter, the 3 times he's singled out in Scripture, he's always bringing somebody to Jesus. I don't know a better testimony to be known as the person who's bringing people to Jesus. He didn't know how Jesus could use this boy, but he knew that if he got him in touch with Jesus, Jesus would know what to do. He didn't know what the Greeks needed, but he knew that Jesus had the answer. And he knew that Peter needed to know his Savior. And isn't it interesting? We never hear him saying, "Peter, don't forget, I'm the one who introduced you." He was willing to play second fiddle. Never fit into the big three, Peter, James, and John. Not mentioned in Scripture at the Pentecost. But when he is mentioned in the Gospels, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. Which raises the issue for me. Who are you bringing? Who am I bringing? You see, the reality is people bring people to Jesus. Those who Jesus uses their resources to bless others, like the young boy, are brought by someone to Jesus. Who are you bringing to Jesus? Last week you were encouraged to take out a bookmark prayer card where you would be praying this week for four petitions. One, that God would lead you to identify someone that you could reach for Christ. Two, to intercede for that someone, that they be open to an invitation to worship, small group, the gospel. Three, to invite that person to worship with you or join a small group with you. And four, to introduce that person to Jesus. Have you been doing that this week? I hope so. But I want you to know there's something more to that. And I don't know what they must have. There they are. We got you a follow-up. It's an invitation. It's a little bookmark that you can invite with a message of invitation this week. To invite someone to your small group, come worship with you. There'll be ushers out in the welcome area as you leave today that you can pick up. You don't have to get just one. Get several to pass around. Invite. Be an Andrew. Bring people to Jesus. But let's go back to John's gospel. We pick up with verse 17. They replied, "We have nothing but five loaves and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Here's the next thing that I see. We're to bring our resources to Jesus. No matter how limited they seem, I imagine that they felt a little overwhelmed with just this little bit. And he's got all these people to feed, but they bring their little resources to Jesus. You see, that's what we're called to do. And I'm thinking about that boy who had his lunch. He was ready. And now he's asked to give it to Jesus and let Jesus use that to feed this crowd. And I can imagine, wait a minute, is there anybody going to be left for me? Am I going to get anything time everybody else gets my lunch? But he trusts. He trusts. He brings his resources, as little as they are, and lays them at Jesus' feet. William Barclay, writing on this passage, said, "It is true that the disciple is helpless without his Lord, but it is also true that the Lord is helpless without his disciples. If Jesus wants something done, if he wants a child taught or a person helped, he has to get a person to do it." Oh, I know Jesus could do anything, but he has chosen to work through his family. And we're called to bring what we have and use it for Christ. Give it to Christ and listen what happens. We pick up with the ending of the story, verse 19. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves, the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all who ate and were filled, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Here's the last point I want to lift out, and that is, Jesus takes our offering, no matter how little it is, and multiplies it. Multiplies it. He can take what we bring and make a miracle. Now, I understand that there are those who have attempted to explain how this miracle took place, that maybe others did have some food. They just didn't want to share it until this boy's generosity convinced them to share what they had. I've read many of those explanations, but here's what I think. Jesus did a miracle. The Christ I serve can take a small offering of loaves and fish and make it equivalent to meet the needs of a crowd. He can do miracles. And He's still in the miracle business of taking what His people bring and making an impact in the world. I mean, we've witnessed it in this church. 4 years ago, this church was giving around $30,000 to missions. Now, of that 30, we had a faith promise budget of almost 60. So in other words, we weren't giving at all. We were borrowing from our reserves to make up the difference. Last year, we gave $85,000 to Faith Promise and Missions, and another $30,000 that came through the mission portion of the ministry budget. More than doubling what we were doing 4 years ago. Because of your generosity, lives are being changed. We were able to take on new partnerships. One of those new partnerships, the Weigerts that you heard about, Kelly's going to be here earlier this year. Soon after they got back to Peru, I got a video from Paul of families lined up to be baptized, coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And Kelly will be here tonight to share about the new ministry that is coming out of our support there of Fair Trade, where they're learning how to make certain items that can be sold on the market. That's just one, though. Just one. Do you know that last winter, our partnership in Spain had all their summer supplies stolen? Now, those of you who know about the camp, they use American Indian teepees as their camping place for the kids, and archery is one of the ways they teach about missing the mark. They had lost all of that. And because we overgave the budget, we were able to bless them. And I heard from Pierre that lives were changed this summer because we helped them get the camp back and going because of your giving. In Spain, also, in another part, the Howards finished the translation of the New Testament in a language spoken in parts of Spain that's not the traditional Spanish language. And now they're reading the Bible, and lives have been changed, and they baptized a couple just recently in this new church that they've started. And in Nigeria, Robert Sparkman, who was our preacher of a Global Impact Celebration, he's over in Nigeria in August to celebrate the first graduating class from the school that our Nigerian partnership helped build and help re-roof those that got hit by the storms in the spring. And he got to celebrate as he was invited to be the preacher for that first graduating class. You helped make that happen. And then in Nigeria, there's another tribe of people that's fixing to have a Bible because we came alongside the Manvilles to help send them as Wycliffe missionaries to translate the Scriptures. Well, I could go on and on, but let's bring it closer to home because it's happening here. Already this year, thousands of Carbert County folks have been fed through the ministry of the Carbert Caring Center. And some of you brought supplies after the challenge last week to help replenish because they were out a couple weeks ago. And in addition to that, every week there are families who get a hot meal at lunchtime because of our partnership with Meals on Wheels. And across the river, over at UNA, we help feed some students, particularly international students, that don't have a lot of resources here in America, but they're not only getting fed, they're hearing the gospel. When we were over there for the welcome and picnic that you helped make happen, we were able to get people to come in there. Said, I didn't know about this ministry. And I learned later that one of the persons that walked by me and accepted an invitation was actually a child in a former church. But she wasn't that little girl anymore. And I didn't even recognize her. She walked right on by and she said that she was too embarrassed to tell me who she was because she was afraid I wouldn't remember her. Well, I didn't recognize her, obviously. God's working. God's working. And I could go on and on with how He's taking our little and multiplying it because we bring it to Jesus. So here's the challenge for today. It's kind of twofold. And the first is this. How will you answer Jesus' statement? You give them something to eat. There's a world out there in need. As the body of Christ, as individuals who follow Jesus, how will you answer? You give them something to eat. And then the second question, who will you bring to Jesus so that He can change their lives? And as we see in the Scripture, Andrew brought him, and his resources were used to bless others. You see, every time we bring somebody to Jesus, not only is their life changed, but there's other resources and gifts that God can use to change the lives of others. Who will you bring? Let us pray. God, we thank You for Your Word. And lead us to be faithful in responding to Your Word this day. We pray in the awesome, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.